Welcome to the Elite Life Church Podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so it may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Today, I'm starting a new series, and I've called it Your Real ID. It builds off the foundation we laid in our previous series on hearing the voice of God. The title to our new series plays off the advertising campaign created by the Department of Homeland Security. For the past 4 years almost, they've been running a campaign called Be Your Real ID Self, with a tagline, Be Real ID Ready. So what is Real ID according to the Department of Homeland Security? As of May 7th, 2025, so this coming May, people will need to have a Real ID or other federally approved identification like a passport to fly domestically or enter federal facilities. Previously, you could have any driver's license to travel domestically, to get on an airline and go anywhere else in the United States. Coming up, you're going to have a Real ID or other approved documentation like a passport, which previously was only needed if you were flying outside of the United States. Now you're going to need that documentation or coming May 7th in order to travel within the United States via domestic airline flights. You will also need them to enter any federal buildings. What they're basically saying is that without a Real ID, people are not going to be able to go where they want to go. Spiritually speaking, I believe there's many Christians who are not aware of their true identity. They are not spiritually Real ID ready because they've never taken the time to put together the proper documentation that shows them who they really are. So this became real to me, naturally speaking, when we moved to Illinois. When we moved to Illinois, Megan and I went to transfer our car registrations to Illinois and to get our Illinois driver's license. We didn't do the proper research and know that in order to go to the Secretary of State building and get your driver's license here in Illinois, you have to have an appointment. In the states we've been previously, you could just walk up and wait in line and get your documentation. You're good to go. Well, here in Illinois, we showed up and there was a line out the door, down the block, in the rain. And we're looking at line, and then we realized, thankfully, that was just for the driver's license side of it, that to get our title switched over for our vehicles, we could just go in and wait in the line inside to get that done. So we went inside and waited in line. And while we're waiting in line, we began praying for favor. Like, okay, God, we did not have all of our stuff in line. We need some favor because we'd really like to get our driver's license today also and not have to go through the whole process of coming back and doing all this again. And as we were waiting in line, we struck up a conversation with the security guard that was standing there by the line. And we started asking him some questions. Oh, well, you're going to need to have the appointment and everything else. And we talked to him. And the more we chatted, the more friendly we got. And before we're done with our line, he says, you know what? I happen to know some people in the driver's license side. Let me see what I can do to get you a walk-in. So we're like, okay, thank you, God. So we went up and took care of transferring our titles over to Illinois for our vehicles, paid all the taxes and stuff to do that. When we're done, the security guard came up and said, come on, follow me. So he took us over into a separate line that bypassed the entire line of the people standing out in the rain and got us in line to be walk-ins for getting our driver's license. So when we went up to get our driver's license, we had all the documentation that we've previously needed in order to get a driver's license. And the lady helping us said, we can give you a driver's license, but we cannot give you a real ID driver's license. You don't have enough documentation to get the real ID driver's license. So that means your driver's license will work, but you can no longer use your license to travel domestically after May 7th of 2025. And then she gave me this whole paper full of the documentation that we're going to need to bring in order, oh, it's two-sided, the documentation that we're going to need in order to get our real ID. So some of the required documentation needed is proof of identity, such as a passport or birth certificate. So I thought about that. I thought, spiritually speaking, do we have proof of our true identity in Christ as Christians? Number two, you need a proof of social security number. Spiritually, in my series, we're going to be talking about, do you know the chapter and verse that tell you who you are as a born-again believer? Three, you need proof of state residency. Multiple forms of proof of state residency. Spiritually speaking, do you know your true citizenship? Where is your citizenship at? Four, you need a legal name change documentation and legal proof of your signature. Spiritually, who are you now called as a born-again believer? At the conclusion of this Your Real ID series, I believe you're having the documentation needed to know your real ID as a born-again believer. So now that I've introduced the series to you, today's message is titled, What is Truth? We live in a world that thinks and teaches that truth is subjective. There's been a lot of talk lately about my truth, your truth. I've been in conversation with someone before, and they said, well, that might be your truth, but that's not my truth. There is truth, and then there's opinions and thoughts and other things, but there is only one truth. The dictionary definition for truth is conforming to fact or actuality, reality, actuality, the reality of a situation. So those are some definitions. For years, the world has said, seeing is believing. Have any of you ever heard the statement, I know it's true, I saw it with my own two eyes? People have said those statements for years. Now, you don't hear those statements as much today as you used to. And I believe a big reason for that is because we've learned that there is so much fake, especially online. When you go on social media or something else, we've begun to realize that what we're seeing is not actually the reality in a lot of cases. People put on fronts and they put up pictures and they say things on social media that doesn't truly reflect their real life or their real situation. It's the projection that they want people to believe about them. It doesn't necessarily reflect the true condition of who they are. Now, the Bible has been consistent in speaking truth. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, the world that we're living in is rapidly changing. I'm not sure how much everybody's noticed over the last 5 to 10 years, really the last 20 years, we've seen major changes with the advent of social media and the change of the internet. I'm old enough to remember before the internet was really a thing. I remember back when it first came about and there was dial-up connection and it took forever to get anything, and email was a big deal as a form of communication. There was no such thing as a smartphone back when I grew up. The world has drastically changed in the last 20 to 30 years. And what's happening is it's changing faster and faster from a technology standpoint. technology is rapidly advancing far beyond what was previously predicted. In the last year alone, we've seen major announcements by technology companies regarding the advancement of artificial intelligence, or AI for short. This last week alone, there's been some large updates in the AI community. Apple released their new software that deeply integrates ChatGPT, AI, and Apple Intelligence in Apple operating devices for all the newer devices. Google released their Gemini 2.0 in this past week. There was the first public release of Sora, OpenAI's text-to-video AI creator that is likely going to transform the film industry. Tyler Perry, months ago when he saw a preview of Sora from OpenAI, decided to cancel his plans for an $800 million expansion to his Atlanta studios. He was going to expand his studios with 12 new studio set areas, and he decided to completely cancel an $800 million addition plan because he realized that the film industry is going to completely change over the next few years and make the changes that he was about to invest in obsolete. Well, there's going to be major changes coming over the next 5 to 10 years that most people are completely unaware of. The key players in the development of artificial intelligence believe that whoever is first to create AGI could dominate and determine the fate of the world. AGI means artificial general intelligence. So it refers to a type of artificial intelligence capable of understanding, learning, and performing any intellectual task that a human can do. They've not gotten there yet, but they're working towards it. We currently have a less advanced form of AI, but they are all working towards creating AGI with the plan of basically world domination. China is rushing towards it. The United States is rushing towards it and currently leading the field. Other countries are jumping in on it, and they're racing basically to try to create the first computer system capable of artificial general intelligence. So while they haven't yet created it, it is forecasted that it could just be potentially a few years out based on how rapidly artificial intelligence has been advancing over the last 3 to 5 years. I believe most people are completely unprepared for how rapid the world will begin changing once these major advancements in technology come to pass. With that, there has never been a more important time to make sure that we as believers know our real ID. Not the real ID the government's talking about, but our real identity in Christ, our true identity as born again believers who are called to be change agents in this world. And in order to know our real ID, our true identity, it has to be based on the unshifting, firm foundation of truth. Real truth. Not someone's subjective, quote-unquote, truth, which is actually a lie, but based on unshakable truth. I believe there's going to be a major shaking throughout the whole world in the coming years as the world transitions to learning how to adapt to a world where machines can do many jobs that humans once had to do. It's going to drastically shape the landscape of what's possible. So with that introduction, let's jump in to the book of John and see what Jesus had to say about truth. John 18, verses 33 to 38. They've had the Last Supper. Jesus has talked to his disciples, has been betrayed by Judas. He's been captured, and he's now on trial. So let's jump into the story in verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." So going back there, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." That sounds a lot like our key scripture in our last series. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Sounds an awful lot like that, doesn't it? He said, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" That question that Pilate asked is a question that people have asked for centuries. What is truth? When people don't understand what truth is, they will make up their own quote-unquote truths to try to solve the problems that they have in life, to try to solve the answer, or to try to answer the questions that they have, so they will make up their own truths. Now, if you make up a truth, is it a truth or is it a made-up belief? It's not the truth. Truth is not subjective. Truth is truth. That's what makes it truth. So let's dive in and see what the Bible has to tell us about what truth is. Let's go to John chapter 1. So same book, go all the way back to chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Those same scriptures from the Christian Standard Version of the Bible, that was the ESV, the Christian Standard Bible says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." The New American Standard Bible 2020 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." So what are we learning from the different ways that different translations translate these scriptures? That grace and truth came or were realized through Jesus. Jesus said to Pilate that he came to bear witness, that for this purpose, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Over here in John 1, we see that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and that he came to reveal God to us. That Jesus came to be the representation from the Father, from God, and to reveal God to the world. Now turn to chapter 16, John 16, verse 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So we see a couple things there. Number one, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you. It says he will guide you into all the truth. So what truth is he guiding us into? Let's turn to the next chapter. Flip one chapter over to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 15. And we're going to read 15 through 19. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. This is Jesus' prayer to God. He's praying to God in John chapter 17, and he's speaking of his disciples. So he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. That word sanctify means to set them apart. Jesus is praying that believers would be set apart from the world, that they would be different from the world because they're set apart in truth. It is truth that sets us apart from those who don't follow truth. When one chooses to follow truth, they're going to be a separation from those who are not following truth. Because when you don't follow truth, anything goes. When you can say anything is right, then people do whatever they want. When you know the truth and you know that there is a right decision, a right way of acting, a right way of speaking, a right way of thinking, and you choose to follow the truth, it's going to sanctify you or set you apart from those who don't know and don't follow the truth. So Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so hold on, as you sent me into the world, remember what we read when we were reading John 18, verse 37, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So for this purpose, I have come into this world to bear witness to the truth. So what is Jesus praying now here in John 17, 18? As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So that means that we are now to carry on Jesus's mission of bearing witness to the truth. Bearing witness to the truth. And it tells us here that his word is truth. That means as born-again believers, our lives are to bear witness to the truth of the Word of God, to the truth of the Bible, to the truth of the Scriptures. We are to be set apart from the world, to look different from the world, because we follow the truth that's written in the Word of God. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I consecrate myself. That's another word for setting himself apart. He sets himself apart, makes himself set apart, so that they also may be set apart or sanctified in the truth. So Jesus chose to go through the process of being set apart for truth and bearing witness to the truth, because we are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means we need to choose to be set apart from the world's way of doing things, to be set apart by following the truth that is written in the book of truth, the word of truth, the word of God, which is truth. So verse 17 tells us that the word of God is truth. Now I'm going to show you something a little different with this. We'll go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So by faith, it takes faith to understand that the universe was created by the word of God. The Bible tells us that the universe was created by the word of God. The Bible tells us that it's truth, but it takes faith to choose to believe the truth. The Bible tells us things that we cannot prove with our natural senses. The Bible gives us truth that our natural senses cannot receive. If you remember previously, we talked about in Corinthians that the spiritual person understood things, but the natural person, it was foolishness to them. What we're seeing here is that the Bible is going to tell us things that don't make sense to people that are looking at it from a natural perspective. There's plenty of people that don't believe the Bible because they say, oh, well, I can't prove it, so I don't believe it. Prove to me the existence of God. Prove to me that He created the world. Prove to me these things. You don't need to. It's going to take faith. That's why we're called believers. Believers choose to have faith. Faith goes beyond what we can see with our natural eyes. Now, the more technology shifts, the more we realize we can't actually trust what we see with our natural eye. I don't know when the last time is that you looked on the internet or on social media. With the rise of AI photos and soon to be, and starting now, AI videos, it's going to be very difficult to tell if what you're seeing actually happened or if it was just made up and made to look real. I believe within a short period of time, the fake will be indistinguishable from the real when it comes to our natural senses. It's going to take spiritual discernment to know if it lines up with truth or if it's fake. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. What is the word of God? The word of God is truth. By the truth of the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The things that the world is built on are not things that we can see with our natural eyes. Now look at verse 6 there, Hebrews 11, 6. Same chapter, Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, speaking of God, to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Must believe. Faith and belief go hand in hand. By faith, we understand something, but then we have to choose to believe it. So, people can tell you whatever you want. You get to choose if you're going to believe it. A lot of people believe lies about their real identity. A lot of people are living life believing lies based on programming, if you will, that they have received, based on input into their life. When we're young, people say things to us. Especially when we're young, we remember those things. They shape our identity based on what people have said to us. There are people going around today that think they're stupid because somebody told them they were stupid when they were young. And they spend their life with a limitation on their learning because they run it through a filter that says, I'm stupid, I can't learn. I'm stupid, I'm a slow learner. Because maybe they had a teacher or a parent or someone that was important in their life that said that to them. And they took that memory. They remembered it and they made it part of their identity. Now, that doesn't necessarily reflect reality. It's programming that they received, but it's not a truth about them. But if someone believes that, then they will act in line with their beliefs. They will act in line with thinking, well, I can't learn that. Oh, I'm slow. When in reality, they may be brilliant. Some of the most brilliant people were really bad at traditional school. Einstein was bad at traditional school. Thomas Edison was bad at traditional school. Many brilliant people are so brilliant that people thought they were stupid because they learned and they saw things differently. So we got to be really careful what belief we're holding inside of us, what we're holding that has shaped our outlook on life. I've been playing around more over the last few weeks with ChatGPT. And ChatGPT has a section in the personalization section that's called memory. And you can turn that on, and then the computer will remember things that you've said to it that shape the output of what you receive from it. So the commands that are put into the computer system, the AI system, builds a memory that shapes the output. And I thought, how familiar that is, because that's how people work. Mm-hmm. People have a memory that shapes their output in life, their outlook in life. There are things that we remember in our subconscious that shapes how we interact with people, that shapes the personality that we present to people, that shapes what we say and what we do and how we act. But those are not necessarily things that are based on truth. It's simply subjective information that's stored in a memory that changes the way we function. It's really important that when we're choosing our programming in life, when we're choosing to know our identity, that our identity is based on truth, on the truth of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 for the New King James Version. Verse 13 says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Believing is key to receiving truth from the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, if you don't believe it as truth, you will not get the benefit from it. You have to choose to believe it. When you believe it, it can transform your life. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This is going to sound very familiar with you because these are the scriptures I pray in part at the beginning of each of my messages. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." When it talks about love abounding, that word abound, to cause to superabound or excel in quantity or quality, be in excess, an overabundance of love. So when it talks about love may abound more and more, it is a total overflow of love in your life. And that's what's going to be required for us to love people properly as we're seeing the world shifting and changing and the love of many growing cold. So with knowledge and all discernment in verse 9, we're going to need knowledge and all discernment to navigate the world that we're living in, to navigate knowing our true identity, to have our life based on truth. Verse 10, "so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." being pure and blameless is being sanctified, being set apart in truth. That's what keeps us pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You're going to notice that the whole prayer that we pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. All of that's based on our identity. So that at the beginning of every message, we are reminded of our true identity and who we are in Christ. And why is it important? Turn with me to Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So do not be conformed to this world. We cannot be changed into the image of the world. The world is constantly trying to get us to fit into its mold, to be what it tells us to be. It tells us that through advertising. Every time you watch something, it's trying to tell you what to be. It's trying to tell you what you need. We go to school and they try to teach us what to be and what to need. And nowadays it goes beyond just teaching us basic school subjects to trying to turn people into the image of the world. But the Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world. It says that we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That word transformed means to change into another form, to transform or to transfigure. We are to be transformed. We are to be changed to another form. We're not to look the same as what we used to look like. When we become born again, we begin a process of looking different because we become different than we once were. Our actions should be different than they were before we were born again. We should begin being transformed. And how do we do that? We renew our mind. When we have our mind conformed to the truth of the Word of God, it changes our output. I talked about before the stored memories. Sometimes there may be a memory that said someone was stupid or someone couldn't learn. When we begin learning our real ID, what our proper identity is in Christ, it begins changing our outlook on life and therefore our output on life, meaning we see life differently when our mind is transformed. And because we see life differently, we act differently. We speak differently. We respond differently to people. Our life begins changing to be transformed, and it starts with renewing our mind to the truth of the Word of God. So when Pilate said, "What is truth?" he was asking an age-old question. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. The Word is truth, Jesus said. That truth is not going to benefit you, though, unless you choose to believe that the Word is truth. And as believers, as born-again believers, we get to choose to believe it. And when we choose to believe it, that means we begin putting it inside of us, knowing that the Word will transform us as we renew our mind. Whatever we spend the most amount of time focusing on and putting into us is what's going to begin coming out of us. Most people spend the majority of their time letting someone else program them. And what do I mean by that? Think about the Super Bowl for a moment. The Super Bowl is incredibly popular all across the United States. Even people that aren't into football many times will watch the Super Bowl. People like me. I don't watch football a whole lot, but I like watching the Super Bowl. Now, one of the reasons people like watching the Super Bowl is because of the commercials. The Super Bowl is known to have some of the best commercials, some of the highest produced commercials. Now, best is subjective. I don't mean best in the good sense. I mean best in advertisers spend a lot of time and money to come up with the commercials that they put on the Super Bowl because there is a massive expense involved in one 30-second ad for the Super Bowl. I don't know what they're selling for this year, but it's a lot. Why do they do that? Because so many people are watching it. Why are advertisers willing to spend so much money to put it on the screen? Why do they invest their money to put their advertisement on that screen? It's because they know that when they put that information into you, it changes people's behavior. People choose to buy things because of the programming that they've received. People choose to do things based on the programming that they've received. Many people don't pay attention to that and just go through their life allowing others to put things into them. The music that we listen to, many people are programming their mind full of lyrics that if they stopped and thought about it, is that what I want my life to be transformed into? Do I want that to become me? And they think, oh, it's just music. No. It's programming. You're listening to something, you're memorizing something, you're learning from something, and it's going to shape the way you see life. This is the reason it is vital for believers who desire to know their real ID, their true identity, to be spending time reading, listening to, and focusing on the truth in the Word of God so that we begin being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you that we choose to focus on the truth of your word. I thank you that our lives are transformed by the renewing of our mind as we spend time reading, studying, listening to, and meditating on the truth of your word. I thank you that in a world that believes truth is subjective, that we can stand on the firm foundation of your truth and survive the shaking that's coming. I thank you for this series. Thank you for each and every person who listens and applies and allows themselves to be set apart for your use, sanctified by the truth of your word, bearing witness to the truth of your word to the world. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com. Our mission is to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. So what is an elite life? An elite life is a life being transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in love. As we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors for Christ. Living an elite life as believers is not about superiority. It's about embracing the life we were created to live, loving and obeying God, and loving and serving others. The word elite has multiple meanings, but one of those meanings is the best or most select. We believe living an elite life is the very best life anyone can live because there is no true life apart from Christ. Jesus said in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So there is no true life apart from Christ. One of the other meanings of elite is of high birth. There is no higher birth than being born again or born from above as a child of the Most High God. John 3:5-8, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes.
You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So let me ask you, are you living an elite life? Do you remember the time, the place, or the surrounding circumstances when you asked Jesus Christ to personally become your Lord and Savior? If you can't answer that with 100% certainty, I want to invite you to mark today as the day you know for sure that you've asked Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16-18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." 1 Corinthians 15, 3-6, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Romans 10:9-13, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. It is just as the Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." If you'd like to begin living an elite life today, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, but feel free to say it differently. The important thing is that it's got to come from your heart. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for forgiving me, and for giving me eternal life. I receive your love and gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made Jesus Christ your Lord today, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to your elite life. Mark today's date as a reminder of the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life. We would love to celebrate with you. Please reach out to us at EliteLifeMinistries.com and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus. We have free resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that has listened to this message. For those that just gave their life over to you, Father, I know the word tells us that the angels are rejoicing at this moment. Father, we thank you. We rejoice along with the angels and thank God for a new life being added to your family. Lord, I also pray for anyone that listened to this message but didn't make that decision today. Maybe they're still unsure. Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to them and draw them to you. Father, I ask you to give them another chance to receive your salvation. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.